I think it's so important to start treating your migraines early and not accept that it's just a headache. I do see why some doctors are cynical about it, because we have no evidence, we have no blood test to say, oh, this is a migraine. It's a diagnosis we give you after talking to you, asking questions about your headache. We don't have any proof. The only proof you have is your diary. And another thing is that you can take a picture with your cell phone when you have an attack, because most people see the doctor in between attacks. They don't see the doctor when they have the attack. So many family doctors, they don't take headache very seriously.
Migraine is a complex, multifactorial disease which can leave us feeling frustrated and helpless. We often hope, if I can just find the right doctor, they'll have the solution to get my migraine condition under control. If you have migraine with comorbidities or other complications, how do you know if you should seek an interdisciplinary approach from more than one type of healthcare professional? To help us navigate the interdisciplinary care plan, we have Dr. Anne-Christine Poole from her Norwegian Headache Clinic. She runs an interdisciplinary clinic designed around the patient with migraine, as well as other headache diseases, to help deliver comprehensive and effective care. Dr. Poole, welcome to the Migraine World Summit.
Thank you for having me here.
In different parts of the world, people have access to different types of healthcare providers for migraine. In Europe, what are the different types of providers that people might see?
That's an interesting question. Before I'm answering that, I think it's really important to say that if you are having regular headaches that are affecting your family, your work, your school, or your social life, you should really start recording it. So if you're having regular headaches that are affecting your quality of life, pick up your cell phone, Google migraine and diary, and app will automatically turn up, and you start filling it in and take it to your doctor. That's the first thing. Then back to your question. I think that...
Well, sorry to interrupt you. So why should people do that? Why is it so important to track your migraine condition?
Because I'm coming back to that, but that is because that's the only way that you, that's the only evidence you have that how your headaches are affecting your life. That's the only evidence you have that to show your doctor how your frequent headaches affects your quality of life. Mm-hmm. And then back to your question. I think most people, they self-medicate. They go to the bathroom and they see what they have there, or they go to the pharmacy and they buy over-the-counter medication like paracetamol or ibuprofen. And then after a while, I think the first meeting with the healthcare professions might even be a physiotherapist or a chiropractor. Then they might see the school nurse before they see the family doctor.
Is it changing the people that have migraine? Are they changing who they see first?
No, not really. I think the family doctor is very central in this. But the thing is that many people don't consider their headache as being serious enough to see their doctor. So they can go for years and years without even mentioning it. And when they do mention it, it might be when they are in for another consultation for something else. And they do what I call a doorknob phenomena, where they, on the way out, say, oh, by the way, doctor, my headaches are bothering me. Can you please give me a prescription? That's a normal way.
So headaches are common, but are they normal?
Yeah, headaches are very normal. I guess half the population are suffering from some kind of headaches. And the migraine is underdiagnosed and therefore undertreated.
And should someone that has migraine just accept that they have it and live with it, as a lot of people seem to do, or can they actually get effective treatment?
No, absolutely not. I think if you are suffering from repeatedly headaches, which are affecting your family, your work or your social life, you should actually go and see a doctor. Start recording a diary and bring it to your doctor, because you can get help.
How can frequent migraine lead to other conditions or comorbidities if left unchecked?
Keep in mind that migraine is not the same as a headache. Migraine is a multifactorial disease, and the more frequent attacks you get, the more other symptoms do you get, like a stiff neck and depressions, lots of things come with the migraine. And if you keep it untreated, it will get worse and worse. And at last, it will turn into a chronic headache or chronic migraine.
And with years of chronic migraine, you can develop central sensitization that can lead to fibromyalgia. You may have gut issues as a result of all the treatments that you're taking. Are there things like that that people should be aware of as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's so important to start treating your migraines early and not accept that it's just a headache. I do see why some doctors are cynical about it, because we have no evidence, we have no blood test to say, oh, this is a migraine. It's a diagnosis we give you after talking to you, asking questions about your headache. We don't have any proof. The only proof you have is your diary. And another thing is that you can take a picture with your cell phone when you have an attack, because most people see the doctor in between attacks. They don't see the doctor when they have the attack. So many family doctors, they don't take headache very seriously,
because they've never seen
it. It's just a headache.
Yeah.
They have never seen you during an attack.
What typical steps does someone with migraine go through in Europe?
It's difficult to generalize, because there are different systems in different countries in Europe. And I usually take as an example the differences between Norway and Denmark. I used to study in Denmark. I started 40 years ago. And the Danish Headache Center is a center of excellence. They started in 2001, and they do research. They see a lot of patients from all over Denmark with chronic headaches, medication overuse, and they treat them multidisciplinary. In Norway, we have a research center in the middle of Norway, in Trondheim, which is also well known, but they only see patients from their own region. They don't see patients from any other parts of the country. So it's only very recently, like this year, they are starting now to realize that this is a problem, and that they are starting to make units, headache units, at two hospitals in Oslo. They just started, and that's 2019.
Mm-hmm. So we've seen research from the US that suggests that as many as 19 out of 20 people with chronic migraine are either misdiagnosed, mistreated, or aren't seeing the doctor. Is there the same or similar levels of misdiagnosis or mistreatment in Europe, do you think?
Unfortunately, absolutely yes. That's a huge problem. And I think some of the problem is, of course, that the patient don't find it seriously enough to see their doctor about it. And also that they think the doctor can't do anything about it. So why go? So they self-medicate. And if they do see the doctor, many doctors are not even able to give a diagnosis. They're not familiar with it. And that's a shame.
So what options do they have? What other experts can they see, or you know, who can they get a referral to see if they're not getting a good experience or you know, good treatments, or if they feel like their doctor doesn't even believe them?
Yeah, they have to have a referral to go to a public neurologist. And a public neurologist will either work in the hospital or outside a hospital setting. Some neurologists are very, very interested in headaches, and they will specialize in that and work with that. But most neurologists, they are more interested in other areas of the neurology, like MS, epilepsy, Alzheimer's disease, and stroke, to mention some. So they are not even very interested in headache. So the other options is to go and see a private neurologist working with headache, or a headache specialist. In England, for instance, they have the GPs, the gypsies they call them, GPs with a special interest in headache, working very seriously with headache patients. And they also have headache nurses, which we are beginning to get in our countries as well.
And what can a headache nurse do?
A headache nurse, that also differs from country to country. In some countries, I know that they see the patient at the first consultation, so they do the screening in a way, and then they discuss that with the doctor. In most countries, they will help the doctors look at the diaries, have courses in medication overuse headache, They will inject Botox. So they are of great efficiency. They're of great help to us.
Can nurses prescribe medication in some countries?
In some countries they do, but in most countries they don't. In Norway they can't. Definitely not.
And what other options are there around, like, can you explain, for example, the differences between seeing your family GP at a local clinic versus a centre of excellence versus a hospital or a university?
Usually the GPs, they are very short of time. That's one thing. And, you know, keep in mind that we have 14 groups of headache diagnoses, and they're underdivided into more than 200 diagnoses. And no wonder why the GPs are not so familiar with all the diagnoses, and it's difficult to give a diagnosis in 10 minutes. So what you get when you go to, like, a multicentral, multidisciplinary clinic is more time. In our clinic, we spend 1.5 hours at the first consultation, and we can only do it in that time if the patient has filled in forms before they come, so they are prepared about what we are going to discuss in the consultation, and the follow-up will be 30 minutes. At the hospitals, they're quite limited on time too, but I think a first-time consultation will be 30 minutes, which is better than 10 minutes at least. So I think headaches and migraines are time-consuming because there's so much in it. It's not just the headache, it's all the other things you mentioned. So you do need time.
And how does someone know to have that ready before they have their first consultation? Is that a phone call with your reception as they're booking a consultation, and then they're advised, okay, if it's a 2-month waiting list, then for the next 2 months, keep a record? How does that work?
In our clinic, you mean? In our clinic, we do pre-screening. So the first step is to call the secretary, and then she can do a chat in a way where they answer questions online, which will come into my computer. Then I will have a look at all the answers they give, and I can pre-screen, and I can set up a meeting with them, with the specialist they will need for the condition they have. And remember, Norway is a long country, and many people fly in for the day. So if we should do one thing at a time and see one specialist at a time, I think the Norwegian airline would be very happy. But we do several things at one time, but the only way we can do that is by pre-screening.
So you're looking at the whole gamut of symptoms and conditions that might be there, and then they may see in one consultation several different experts.
Absolutely, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your clinic? It sounds very interesting.
Yeah, why would they come and see us? I think when people are still suffering from frequent headaches and which are affecting their quality of life, they will look into more multidisciplinary clinics, and they will not be satisfied with a 10-minute consultation at the GP. They know that we care. They know that we are in front line of new treatments, that we do research, and that we see the whole person, and also that we are multidisciplinary, have the multidisciplinary treatment. So I think that when many people say when they come, it's the first time ever they have been heard. It's the first time that anyone have touched them in a way in their head and examined them. We do an examination. We do a 1.5 hour talk with them, and we teach them things. So I feel we do it very differently.
And that's not typical of what people would experience necessarily in Europe when they go to see a doctor for migraine.
No, it's not. Sadly enough, it's not.
And even if you go to an interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary clinic, it's not typical to see multiple experts in the same visit, in the same, you know.
No, I don't think so. I think, and also because that needs a pre-screening, you can't set them up with a physiotherapist and a psychologist and a dietitian if they don't need it. So you do need a pre-screening, and I don't think that's very usual to do.
So those examples, a physician, a physical therapist, dietitian, are those experts that you have at your clinic?
Yeah.
Who else is at the clinic? I'm curious.
Wow, it's a big hospital, and so we use experts from the hospital. It's a private hospital, a small hospital, So they come into the clinic. We don't let the patient go to the specialist at the hospital. They come into the headache clinic and see the patients. And that's a big difference. We use ENT doctors, we use the gynecologist, we use the eye doctor, we use, we can use anyone from the clinics, but we are very close to the physiotherapist and the psychiatrists.
Great. And so they'll fill out the pre-screening questionnaire,
mm-hmm.
and then they can see multiple experts in the same visit.
Yes.
That same day.
Yes. And then they have lunch in between. It'll be a long day for some. And keep in mind that they're having headaches and having migraines. So we take care of them, yes.
Is there a waiting list like there is in the US for a lot of experts?
Depending on who you want to see. But we do have several doctors, several neurologists and headache specialists. So depending a little bit, because we are a bit short of doctors seeing children. And that's a thing that is very special, I think, for our countries, is that neurologists usually don't see children under the age of 18, and they don't want to. They are allowed to, but they don't want to. Pediatricians are often not that into headaches, so there's a gap. Who is going to look after those children?
Yeah,
and I think migraine. They are so important to help, because they will end up having no education, no work, be on pension if we don't help them early. So we have had a little waiting list on that, but we are doing better now.
Who's the typical patient that you see coming into the clinic?
The typical patient coming into our clinic will be difficult cases, headaches, with patients with chronic migraine, chronic cluster headache, medication overuse headache, difficult to give a diagnose type headaches, headaches with a lot of comorbidities, both physical and psychological comorbidities. So just difficult to treat patients. And they have been through the system for years and years and years. And maybe they are now already on pension, or they are on the edge of losing their job or dissolving the family. They're coming in when they are in big trouble.
By its definition, a multidisciplinary clinic is when you're tackling the problem from different angles at the same time.
Yeah.
But often what you hear doctors say is, let's just try one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. Why would they say that?
That's a good question. I don't think there's a good answer for that, except that they might think that they need to know what helps. And if they do two things at a time, they don't know what helps. I thought that too 21 years ago when I started the first clinic in Norway, a multidisciplinary clinic. Because the patients are so multifactorial and they are so difficult to treat, we have no time to lose, because, as I said, they might be losing their job, they might be dissolving their family, and it's really, we have no time to lose, so we have to do several things at a time, and then we can pick them up back afterwards. If we treat with different medication and complementary treatments and they get better, we can take one thing away at a time.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think if you were able to halve someone's migraines with multiple treatments, the doctor might be like, well, we don't know what worked. And I'd be like, well, you just halved your migraines. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be
And that amazed doesn't really that matter. Well. Okay, they might have taken a pill too much, but we have no time to lose with these patients. They are so ill.
And then once you've gotten the great results, that's when you can start to pull back one at a time and then see if it affects your condition or not.
Absolutely,
You learn retrospectively what's working.
Yeah, and by the years, we learn what usually works. So you get a gut feeling. When I see a patient, I think, oh, this is a Botox patient, or this is that. I'm not always right, but you do get a feeling after so many years what will help this patient.
What are some successful multidisciplinary approaches that you see working really well in your clinic?
What we call the psychomotoric physiotherapy. Do you know what that is?
No.
No, it's a kind of physiotherapist, which she works with the psych as well.
A psychologist working with a physical therapist?
The opposite. It's a physiotherapist working with the psyche as well.
Okay.
Talking to the patient, doesn't do any hard treatments or anything, but it's a physiotherapist working with the mind.
Okay.
That's very good. And also, we have a nurse. He's a cognitive therapist mm-hmm. and a nurse, and that's super. He helps so many people. So a combination of things. And then what we do, we have a lot of meetings, I must say. We meet all the specialists. We meet very often, several times a week, and we discuss patients. All the individual cases are discussed between us, and then we come to a result.
And what happens if someone's dealing with vestibular migraine or hemiplegic migraine or hormonal or retinal migraine?
Do you want me to go into all of them or?
Give me an example of something like one of those conditions, how that might be treated.
Yeah, see the ENT doctor as well, and then we work together and the physiotherapist maybe, depending. And the medication.
So really is individual.
It's tailored individual treatment. Tailored treatment is one of my main words that we have. We have not two patients that are the same. They're all individuals. And we have to tailor the treatments to the best for the patient.
Is there anyone that wouldn't be appropriate for a multidisciplinary clinic?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. They only see all the specialists that we have pre-screened them for, in a way. And, I mean, if you have a 17-year-old boy migraine for the first time or headache for the first time, he's not going into that. That will make him more ill, I think. So definitely, it's only based on the pre-screen, and some patients are not, it's not necessary with a multidisciplinary. It's enough to see the doctor.
So hypothetically, if I was to go into an interdisciplinary clinic and I saw a psychologist and I saw a physical therapist and another expert, and I got all this homework to do, like for the physical therapist I had to do neck stretches, and the psychologist I had to do other exercises. How disciplined do I need to be with my care?
I think if you go into this and have no intention of changing your habits, don't spend your money. Don't come, because you have to mean it. You have to go into it, and you have to do a job. I can't do it. I can help you to get better. I can't cure you, but we can help you on the way, and you have to do the rest yourself. When I've said that, I also say that no one is perfect. We are not. You are not. And maybe 90% is enough. And many people, they blame themselves every time they get a migraine attack, because, oh, what did I do wrong? They told me to do this and that, and I should not do this and that. But remember that migraine, that lives its own life. You can have some triggers, and you can avoid the triggers, but sometimes you just get a headache anyway. So don't fall into the pitfall of blaming yourself for it. It's not your fault. It's a brain disorder. That's important.
How do you handle having chronic migraine and then trying to do all the right things, but you have frequent migraine attacks? Makes it quite difficult, painful, disruptive. Mm-hmm. How do you follow instructions when you're in that situation?
Migraine is the second most frequent reason for disability in the world. And when you are talking about people under 50, it's the most frequent reason of disability. So you are disabled when you have your migraine attacks, and it's not easy to follow anything. And through the years, I've learned to say, yes, I can do it if I'm not having a migraine attack, because you always have to take that little thing into consideration that you might not be able to turn up, which is hard to live with. But today, with new medications, which can change lives for many people, I think we're on our way.
How can people get started? What are a few simple things that they can do that might make a difference?
I think the best thing you can do, actually, is what I said in the beginning. Start recording your headaches in a diary and see a doctor, because you can't do this on your own. And if years go by and you get worse and worse, you will get into a chronic migraine, which is much more disabling.
So often doctors will talk about treatments that you can take, medications. Are there things that people can do themselves that can better self-manage their condition?
Yes, of course there is. You can have a regular sleep pattern. You can eat every fourth to fifth hour, not getting hungry. You can, there are things you can do, of course, to stabilize. But as I said, the migraine lives its own life and attacks will come anyway, whatever you do.
What about things at home? Are there changes or adjustments that they can make?
Have a regular lifestyle, avoid alcohol, live a boring life.
Live a boring life?
Yeah. I mean, it's so disabling. And if you're getting a migraine every time you drink a glass of red wine, why should you do it? It's better not to do it then.
And it's not necessarily a life sentence to a boring life. If you do get better, if you can crawl out of chronic migraine, there is light at the end of the tunnel. I know for me, for example,
yeah, absolutely,
I've been able to enjoy many more things now that I'm not chronic.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge difference between being episodic and being chronic. I think it's important to define what a chronic migraine is, and that is if you're having headaches 15 days or more per month, and 8 out of those are migraine headaches, and that has been going on for 3 months or more, then it's a chronic migraine, which is very much more disabling. So getting out of that and back to a episodic disease, it's a huge difference.
What responsibility does the doctor have in the treatment and management of migraine in a patient? And what responsibilities does the patient have?
I think I, as a doctor, my responsibility is to do the best I can to help you to get less frequent migraines, less intensity, less duration of each attack, to help you to learn about yourself, how to deal with your headaches and give a good treatment, medical treatment. And your responsibility is to comply and to follow up and follow our advice. If not, don't come.
Are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave with the audience?
Yes, if you are having repeatedly headaches that are affecting your family, your work and your social life, start recording, see a doctor. And another thing is that all European countries have their own headache associations. And we work hard for you as a patient. And I will urge you to look it up on the internet and be a member, be supportive, because in order to have a voice politically, we need a lot of patients. And there are so many headache patients and so many migraine patients. So we should have a lot of members, and then we will together we'll be really strong.
Where can people learn more about you and what you're doing?
They can Google me. Yeah.
Dr. Paul, thank you very much for joining us on the Migraine World Summit.
Thank you for having me.